This morning, my wife proudly said to me, the Nom Nom bottle is mine. So today you have me and the Cookie Monster. Yeah, it's what a privilege to stand up front here. And I'm going to talk about one of my favorite subjects. I'm going to talk about the work of Holy Spirit in a specific area, which is called the gifts of the Spirit. But before we go there, all week God reminded me of a word He gave me a while ago. And He said to me, Gerrit, you know, many people are one confession, one repentance away from breakthrough. Many people here are praying and interceding and sometimes even fasting for breakthrough. And that all that God wants to do is for you to rectify your relationship with Him. There's an area that He wants you to address. There's perhaps an area that you are not willing to confess is a problem, perhaps because of pride. And all that God says is all He's waiting for is for you to realize that, submit it to Him, confess your sin, and He will give you the breakthrough. So guys, don't hold back your breakthrough because you have pride or any other reason. My encouragement is for you, please, to take it on. Take on these opportunities to see God breakthrough for you and your family or whoever you're waiting for a breakthrough for. Then lastly, if anybody's got a pain here on my top right leg here somewhere, like a lame kind of pain, please come through afterwards for prayer. Okay, so today we are teaching on the gifts of the Spirit. What I want to do is I want to take you through one chapter of the Bible. It's considered one of the key chapters of the Bible on the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12. And all I'm going to do is I want to read through it. You know, sometimes by reading the word, more is achieved than by me preaching the word. Okay, the word in itself has got power. The word expressed through word, through the physical speaking, has got power. So, you know, by just reading it and sometimes reviewing it, all I want to do is go through some key, what I would call foundational points. I'm not going to go into in-depth teaching. I want to just lay a foundation. We as elders have felt that we have to move on from the series we were in past, which was talking about spiritual warfare, how Elijahs are needed in this season that the world is currently in. And what we feel like we are to do is to prepare our church to be the army that Jesus wants us to be prepared for spiritual warfare, to be prepared to take His kingdom forward. Okay, I thank Peter for putting the scriptures onto PowerPoint, so you're going to read it with me, and I'm reading out of NLT, but if you want to follow out of your preferred translation, please do so. Grab your Bible and let's read. From 1 Corinthians 12 verse 1, now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your question about the special abilities the Spirit gives us, I don't want you to misunderstand this. You know that when you were still pagans, he's of course talking to a church in Corinth, which is Greek. It's not Jewish based, it's a Greek based church. You were led astray and swept along in worshipping speechless idols. So I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God will curse Jesus. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Okay, so I just want to break there. In these first three verses, Paul highlights the importance of the Holy Spirit. We as a church, as a congregation, believe that we are incapable of doing anything we need to do if we're not powered by the Holy Spirit. We are foundational in this. We read in the Bible that so much of what we depend on for our day-to-day sanctification and walking out our salvation is impossible without the Holy Spirit. We are taught that the Holy Spirit empowers us to transform from beings that are trapped in sin to beings that glorify Jesus, that are not caught in our sin, are no longer slaves to sin, but we become, as the Bible put it, as the scriptures put it, slaves to the Holy Spirit or controlled by the Holy Spirit. We move from one extreme to the other thanks to the infilling of the Holy Spirit. In fact, the Holy Spirit gives us our identity or confirms our identity. It's like a seal that is put upon us and saying, this is mine. This child is mine. This believer is mine. This is how we know that we are saved, is by the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Sometimes we can feel it, we can physically perceive it, but sometimes it takes a while for our brains to catch up to the fact that the Holy Spirit is working through us. You know, and there's so much more. You know, so it also says the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. It helps us to pray. You know, with words we don't understand, often through a tongue that's not our own, the Holy Spirit helps us through our day-to-day walk with God. And here's another area where the Holy Spirit plays such a key role. It endows us with special abilities. These special abilities we call the gifts of the Spirit, or the Holy Spirit gifts. Thanks, Carol. So what I want to lead in is there's none of this unless you value and understand the Holy Spirit. We cannot do this thing of walking out our faith without Him. If you are challenged by that, my encouragement is, please start seeking Him. Start wanting Him. You know? And my encouragement is that as you start to walk with Him, He is that soft voice that leads us. He is the one that's Jesus with us now. Because it says in the Bible, or Jesus said that the Holy Spirit will give words that is from Him to us. It's like Jesus speaking to us every day because of the Holy Spirit being in our lives. Okay. So that's point one. No spiritual gifts without the Holy Spirit. And I'm not going to touch on those churches that have a theology that denies the work of the Holy Spirit. And I'm not even going to touch on those that even say that the work of the Holy Spirit is demonic. If you read your Bible carefully, that Jesus said that by doing that, you actually are entering an unforgivable sin. Because you take what the Holy Spirit has done and you make it out to be the work of the devil. We are not going to enter those arguments. We believe and we walk, and everything that we do is possible through what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. Okay, I want to read further on. Verse 4, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of all of them. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it's the same God who does the work in all of us. So what this couple of verses try to emphasize is, yes, there are different spiritual gifts, but it serves one purpose, and we serve one God. And we're going to touch a bit more on that. You know, this idea of different, but with the same purpose, with the same objective. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. I'm going to read it again. That one verse is so powerful. I'm going to take it a bit further. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. Okay. So my first point is, all believers should have a spiritual gift. If you have been filled with the Holy Spirit, you've experienced His work in your life, you are entitled, if I can use that word, although I don't like entitlement words, to have a spiritual gift. So the question I've got to ask you is, what is your spiritual gift? Do you know what ability God has given you for the purposes of serving each other? The next question is, are you using it? You know, I was thinking maybe I should have put a warning there, a trigger warning up. Because sometimes we've got to ask some hard questions. Sometimes we've got to force ourselves to look at the mirror and address what we're really seeing, the mirror being the mirror of Holy Spirit. We've got to ask him, where are we falling short? What purposes have you given me and I'm not walking in? See, our desire is for this community to be powerful, for this community to matter in the kingdom of God. You know, Jesus really spoke about the church, but he spoke about the kingdom of God all the time. If you go read Matthew, he preached into what the kingdom of heaven is all the time. His parables were predominantly about what is the kingdom of heaven. And that kingdom needs soldiers. You see, I'm sure that as other teachers come along and other people start teaching into Holy Spirit, they will review that Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit performs two functions. It helps us to advance the kingdom, and it helps us to strengthen those that are already in the kingdom. It is crucial, it's the enablement given by the Holy Spirit to do what we are called for. I'm sure that as we go along, we will also differentiate between the gifts of the Spirit and the fruits of the Spirit. And both are essential, guys. It's not one or the other. Both of them are essential. The second point out of that verse, because I can belabor that one already, is that it's there to serve each other. As you read 1 Corinthians 12 and you read 1 Corinthians 14, yes, some of the gifts are there to strengthen us ourselves. But Paul makes the greater point that the greater gifts are those that strengthen others. It is a community thing. And as a white Westerner, I will admit to you, I don't always understand community. I grew up in an individualistic culture, and a culture that's focused on me, a consumer-driven culture. And God is saying, my kingdom will be characterized by the abilities I've given my people, serving each other and serving those that don't know me yet, so that they will get to know me. It's not about ourselves. And so I want to say it's not about, there are people that are super gifted, but they sell themselves for their gifting. That's not God's heart. Yeah, in Acts 8, we read about Simon the magician. He wanted to buy the Holy Spirit. He wanted to buy the power of the Holy Spirit. And he was harshly addressed by Peter. Not softly, harshly. The idea that the gift is for us to sell is madness. And I'm saying that because there are cultures that do that. I want to put anything to that. I don't want to have that expectation. Okay, the second thing is that we have to be in community to serve a community. Okay, the gifts don't matter if you stand on the outside. If you want to make a difference, you've got to be in the community. You've got to be in the church. If you attend church twice a year, you are missing out on the purposes of God and specifically on the use of the Holy Spirit. And this is not comfortable, but I really question if you are a believer, if you think you can live your life outside of community. Now, the gifts aren't just necessarily for church, it is for the kingdom. So it is for those that still has to know God. You know that the gift of healing, and I'm probably going to touch on that a bit later, the gift of healing is a great evangelical tool. If we have the ability, and I believe that some of you sitting here, God has given the gift of healing, it just has to be activated. And you arrive at a place and you pray for a non-believer and they get healed, imagine the impact that it has on that person. Imagine the impact that it could have on all the people around that person. The gift of healing is a sign that God can save our souls. That the eternal life is real, because if he can heal the body, he can rectify the spirit and heal our souls. It is all part of God's salvation plan. And we need gifts. We need the gift of healing. Like we need so many other gifts, like the gift of encouragement. You know, if somebody's down, that gift of encouragement just comes next to him and say, hey, don't give up. God is with you. His purposes for you are good. Don't give up. Persevere, and you will get the price of eternal life. You will have the price of healing, of family saved. I would love to see the gift of encouragement more available. The next one is a hard point, but it needs to be said. God expects a return on what he gives. I should have mentioned it earlier, but God gives freely so that we can give freely. Am I right? Jesus sent out the disciples and he said, freely you've received, now freely give. Okay. But here's the thing. God expects us to use what he's given us. In the parable of the talents, one of his servants took that coin and he buried it, huh? Nothing got returned of that. And the scary thing is he returns and he says to the king, you know what? I know you are a harsh king. I know that you expect to reap where you didn't sow. God, guys, who is he talking about? He's talking about God's expectation that we use what we've been given to get a return. If we sit on our gifts, we're not going to yield a return. What happened to that servant? He was sent into the darkness where there's gnashing of teeth. That picture is not a nice picture. Okay. Sorry, me and the Cookie Monster. Need to wet my throat. So I just want you to think that you've got a gift, and if you're not using it, my encouragement is to start using it. And I'm not doing this out of a guilt-driven thing. I don't want you to feel guilty. I want you to say, this matters to me. If it matters to God, if it matters to the one that was willing to sacrifice his son so that I could have a relationship with him, surely I can spend a little bit more time and a little bit of effort and more prayer just to see this thing activated so that I can use what he's already given me to give him a return. Okay. So if anybody is on the video and looking at this in TV land, my encouragement is, guys, if you haven't attended church, please do so. Please come to church. Please be involved. Get involved in community. And community is not just Sundays, guys. You know, there are many forms of community. There are many ministries. Each one of those can use spiritual gifts. Even Thrift Haven, which is a trading thing, you know, where it's market. But in there, there's great opportunities to minister to people that walk into the store. And your gift can unlock somebody's life that thought they were going to buy something at the store and they got to know something about Jesus that they didn't know before. And maybe turn around on the road of death and turning towards the road of life. Okay. Moving on from that one verse. Where are we? We are in verse 8. Okay, thanks, love. To one person the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another the Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another, and to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles, and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. The next point I want to bring up is you don't get to choose what gift you get. And we're going to dig a bit deeper into that because Paul understood the problem. But I do want to encourage you that you don't go out, if you don't know your gift yet, with an expectation of what it is. My encouragement is, get involved. Get involved. It's in community and serving the kingdom, your gift will get revealed. I have twice participated in tests that they make you do, like a little multiple choice kind of thing to identify gifts. I frankly, to be honest, I don't believe in that. Because so often what they do is they bring it back to human abilities. And what this is not about human abilities. This is about God's special abilities. Okay, so let's read on. What's it still verse 1? One body with many parts. I guess that's the heading. So next verse. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit. And we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If a foot says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not a hand, that does not make it any less part of the body. And I think it's called body dysmorphia, where you're not, sometimes you feel you've got an extra limb. So, unfortunately, I feel that sometimes the churches and the body of Christ suffer from that. People that don't understand the gift they've been given. And we're going to talk a little bit around that. That does make it less part of the body. If the ear says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it any less part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if the whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where He wants it. How strange a body would be, excuse me, if it only had one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. But I can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The hand, it can't say to the feet, I don't need you. So what is Paul trying to highlight? That there has to be a diversity, such a word of our time, a diversity of gifts. There are different gifts given to different people. And those different gifts are necessary to make the body work, to make this body, this community work, to make this body a living army of God. We need a diversity of gifts. We can't have a church only of prophets. And we can't have a church only of healers. And unfortunately, sometimes that's what we want to be. We want to choose what we are. We almost want to argue with the one that made us and knows where best we would fit in. And my encouragement is, please don't fall in that trap. You are unique, and God has got a unique place for you. The picture that I had when I think about this is a diamond, a big diamond that's cut with 1,000 different angles. Have you looked at a diamond? Have you seen it reflect light as you turn it? And every corner, every position that you turn it, there's a different reflection of light. That's the beauty of diamonds, is how it looks different as you turn it, and every angle gives you a different reflection. So we are, as a body of Christ, we give a unique reflection of who God is through the gift we've received. By living out the gifts that God has given us, we are a different view of who God is. And the scary thing is, God is so complete, He's so big, that there's no church big enough to show that whole diamond. But how terrible it would have been if that diamond was only cut once, and there's only one dimension to look at. That's not the God we serve. The God we serve have got unique abilities in each of us, a unique manifestation of who He is for each of us. And one of those ways that He manifests Himself through us is the gift He gives us. Remember, we were made to be the image of God on earth. But none of us look the same. As physically, we are different representations of who God is, so spiritually, we're all different reflections of God, even though He's only one God. Okay. Reading on, in fact, some parts of a body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the most honorable parts do not require the special care. So God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. Gerard, how do you explain that verse? Or those verses? Okay. The truth is, not everybody will have gifts that brings them onto a stage. Many people functions in the body without really being seen. You know, I was reminded this morning of something that I saw, which was incredible. In 2010, the company that I was working for was bought over by Walmart. It's called the Massmart Group. And what was interesting is we met all these Walmartians. And what was funny is you spend a little time with them and you hear all these stories about people's interactions with Sam Walton. Sam Walton was the founder of Walmart. And he passed away in 1992. 18 years after his death, what I heard is so many testimonies of people's personal interaction with Sam Walton. One of them was the senior legal counsel for Walmart in South Africa. And he told me a story that in his student days, he had a vac job, a vacation job at Walmart. And his job was to pack away the dog food in one of the Walmart stores. And as he was busy putting the dog food on the shelves, somebody spoke to him and he turned around and there stood Sam Walton. And what was incredible is all these stories would have this one thread in between, his ability to engage people. His ability to speak to them and make them feel part of a business. So what happened is Sam was talking to him about how dog sales are doing. And he is a lonely vac student. And he gets to talk to Sam Walton about Allroy. Allroy is the private label dog food in Walmart. Allroy was Sam Walton's favorite hunting dog. And what's interesting is he got to talk about the success of Allroy and how it's the fastest moving brand of Walmart. I think that Sam already knew that. But he had the opportunity to engage another, what they call, associate in the business. You know, that is true in the world. We can honor people like that and more in church. So whatever God's gifted you, you will find honor in the church. This morning I was asking God, what is the context in which I can talk to you today? And I can talk to you about the failure of the world system. I can talk to you about how we have lost good leaders that aren't leading us anymore. They're just good at convincing us that they are good, and we have somehow, we fall in love with their persona. But they don't lead us anymore. And God said to me, you know what, you can talk about self-actualization. The fact that everybody wants to know that their life matters. In the church, your life matters. And if you participate with us, and if you bring through that special ability that God has for you, your life matters. You will leave an indelible footprint. I'll never forget, I once heard a testimony of a guy, there's nobody special in his church, but the new pastor arrived and he invited him for a dinner at his house. And the pastor went to this person's house, and it turns out this person didn't have much financial abilities. And so what he was served was bread and peanut butter. But this pastor testified that it was the most incredible time in the Holy Spirit. The gift, supernatural gift of hospitality. Never heard of it before, but now I understand it, because there was a testimony of somebody's life that didn't fulfill a great leadership role in his church, but he lived out the gift that God's given him. And he made a new pastor feel welcome in the church. And that church had great successes and a great testimony of many things that God had through them. Verse 25, this makes for harmony among the members, so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you are part of it. Okay, so I want to encourage you, each of you, no matter what your gifting matters. Even if you're ear, you matter. If you're a small toe, you matter. And this body, it matters. You know, it's funny. I'm a trained athletics coach. I can do sprint coaching. But you won't find a good athlete without toes. Any toe missing. Sprinter, that is. Sprinters need their toes to go around curves or to get a good start. Every part matters. Okay, here are some of the parts God has appointed for the church. First are apostles, second are prophets, third are teachers, and then those who do miracles. Then those who have a gift of healing, those who can help each other, those who have a gift of leadership, and those who speak in unknown languages. Are we all apostles? Sorry. Are we all apostles? Are we all prophets? Are we all teachers? Do we all have the powers to do miracles? Do we all have a gift of healing? Do we all have the ability to speak in unknown languages? Do we have the ability to interpret unknown languages? Of course not. So you should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts. Okay, so before we proceed, and we're at the end of the chapter and what I wanted to read, I want to highlight one thing. And it should go without saying that spiritual gifts aren't natural gifts. Spiritual gifts are gifts that you weren't born with and that you wouldn't have had before Jesus entered your heart, before the Spirit infilled you and gave you a gift. I've been part of praying for somebody and saw them healed. But it doesn't mean that I've got the gift of healing. The gift of healing is somebody with a unique gift that have a reasonable expectation that when they pray for somebody, that person will be healed. Won't necessarily happen every time, but it will happen a lot of the times. Same with a prophet. A prophet would have words that we can trust are from God and speaks to the future of our church, of our community, or perhaps the individual lives of the people living in it. These are not normal gifts. They come with the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. So I'm putting the expectation out there. This is not a call to use your natural abilities more. It's your ability to go to the Holy Spirit and say, I want my gift, and then to exercise that gift. That is what we're talking about. We're talking about a gift that makes a difference. I trust that in future weeks, we're going to teach into that. We're going to explain what those gifts really mean. But they aren't natural, even though they're working out might come across natural. It comes from somebody that wouldn't have had that ability without God empowering them. Now the last point I want to raise is that Paul makes it clear that he was more concerned about how we use these gifts than the gifts itself. In 1 Corinthians 12 and also in Romans 12, he follows up his discussion about the Holy Spirit gift with the importance of how we use it, for what purposes we use it. I've made the point before that it's not for selfish gain, it's not for our glory or our honor, but it's for lifting up people, to see them grow in God, to bring new people to the kingdom. And what he does is, after 1 Corinthians 12, what follows? 1 Corinthians 13. And he ends with this, where he goes into 1 Corinthians 13 with this: but let me show you a way of life that's best of all. And what follows is 1 Corinthians 13, that very famous chapter on love. So the point he's making is, in the context of love, is how we serve people with what God's given us. Our motivation, the whole moving of the gifts, the reason why we use them, is to love people. To love people. To show them that God loves them. And to show them that God has changed your heart to see them grow and to further. You see, the thing with gifts is, it's very difficult to use the gifts if we're going to try and compete against each other. If we're going to say, Lord, I really wanted that gift, but you gave it to that person. I'm not going to serve you unless you give me the same gift. That's not going to leave you in a good place. And I don't think what God's reaction to that would be healthy. Or the reverse, saying, God, I will not accept what that person gives me from you because I don't like him. I don't like that person. So as we go into this arena of talking about the Holy Spirit gifts, my encouragement is to open your heart to God's agape love. The love that would see you sacrifice yourself for others. To see yourself sacrifice your ego, your point of views, your theology, your ideology, to see God's kingdom advance. We cannot afford to enter this point of using something very special and use it incorrectly. And you might say, God would never allow that. Yeah, the challenge is that Jesus even said there will be people that would have chased demons out of other people. And one day they would come and say, God, but we chase demons out in your name. And Jesus would turn them away and say, be gone, I don't even know you. So don't think that God is willing to take this chance on us. He's willing to empower us to live out a supernatural life, a supernatural church for him. The responsibility and the onus is on us to use it right. It's a challenging point. But you cannot have selfish ambition and walk this road with God. So my encouragement is, guys, get your heart right. Get yourself in a position where you can celebrate other people's wins, even though there's a little bit of jealousy involved. Okay. We, to end off a sermon, I want to invite everybody here. I want to invite everybody here on a journey with us as a church, that we can see God's body going from just a body to a separate, supernatural living body. To become the embodiment of Christ on earth. So I'm going to give you some homework. I'm going to ask you to go home and think about the supernatural gift God has given you. If you're not aware of a spiritual gift in your life, I'm going to ask you to ask God to show you. I'm also going to ask you to make up your mind as a matter of will that you want to be more involved in the things of a kingdom. And that includes the things we do here as a church. Okay. Can I ask that? See a lot of shaking heads. If there's any questions, I'm available afterwards. And if you need prayer of any kind, please step up. We'd love to pray for you. Okay. Can I close off in prayer? Lord, we look forward to what you want to do with us as a community. Our desire is to see not this church flourish, but more than that, we want to see hearties change to glorify you. We want to see the world becoming more and more as you meant it to be. We know that in our own abilities, we will fall far short. But through your empowerment, we are capable for more than we could ever imagine. So we ask, Holy Spirit, have your way. Let you work through us so that we understand the words when we pray it. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. Because we are active participants in those words. Lord, we ask that you protect us this week that lies ahead. We ask that you would show us the opportunities to minister wherever we are, that we can be good testifiers of your goodness to those around us. Thank you that you love us so, and we ask, Lord, that we would come back next week to grow further and further and closer to you. Amen.